on the line, we have Sibylla, who is a member of Germany's main left party, Die Linke, and is also an activist involved with, like, unfortunately, I can't really pronounce German, so I'll just pronounce the English name, which is Stand Up Against Racism. And so we have her on the line to talk about the kind of recent trend of the rise of the far right in Germany. So, yeah, good morning, Sibylla.
Good morning to you. Not good morning for us, but good to be with you.
Yeah, okay, morning, it's all good. You'll sound clear. I guess the first question, Sibylla, is what can you tell us about this kind of recent shooting that happened in Hanau? And I guess what was sort of the links to the far right in, what was its sort of links to the far right in Germany?
Okay, so maybe just to sort of illustrate the most recent shooting, which is one of three that happened in the last 9 months. And in that period, 14 people altogether have died. In Hanau, there was a 43-year-old guy. Hanau, for the people who are not so familiar with German geographics, is in the western, the old so-called western part of Germany, near Frankfurt. And there was a 43-year-old guy who had no prior convictions, wasn't sort of on the radar of the police. And he basically did a random attack on shisha bars. They are quite popular places for people, often Turkish background people, to hang out, so usually quite multicultural. And also targeted like what we would call a milk bar nearby, again targeting people from non-German backgrounds. And he killed 9 people in that episode. He then went home and killed himself and his mother. Now, as I said, he wasn't sort of on the radar, but he left an online manifesto type, where he basically made it very clear that he was absolutely motivated by far-right ideologies and had racist motives for his killing spree.
Mm. And have these kind of violent sort of attacks, not just, I guess, shootings, but I guess even sort of violence against sort of people of colour or Muslims, have they often been a trend in? Are they have they been a trend in Germany for the past several years? And of course, are these attacks often linked to the far right?
Yeah, look, it's actually only been last year that the federal government released a statistic on murders that have happened, killings that have happened since reunification. Reunification of Eastern and Western Germany occurred in 1990. And the statistic they released last year was that in that period, since 1990, so almost 30 years, 83 people were killed. Now, I don't think that these statistics included those last 14 people that incurred over the last 9 months. So that already gives you a bit of an illustration that it's always been there. Far-right attacks have always been there in Germany, even prior to reunification, and they've always been identified as far-right attacks. But it's definitely what's happening. You can pretty much say since 2015, I'd say, the attacks have gained a new quality. They're certainly more intense and the death rate is certainly a lot higher, and they're very clearly ideologically driven. So they're without a doubt, they're linked to the organized far right or individual people who absolutely identify with far right ideologies.
And one of the I guess going on to sort of the mainstream kind of far right, what can you tell us a bit about the level of support, I guess, for the AfD in Germany at the moment, and the kind of politics behind their support. And actually, just as a bit of a random, and this is just something I actually read on the way, just only yesterday, but apparently there is this, I'm not sure how prominent this young woman is, but there is a, the far right have sort of come up with their anti-Greta, who is apparently linked, who is German herself. I think it's a 19-year-old girl, and apparently she's sort of linked to the AfD, but she doesn't personally identify with them. But I forgot the name of this particular person. But yeah, that's just sort of one interesting example of what the sort of far right were doing in Germany.
Yeah, look, I mean, I've written a number of articles about the AfD, the Alternative for Germany, that's what they call themselves, in Green Left. So it's probably a bit hard to sort of summarize all of that. But let me just say that this party is a fairly new party. It started up in 2013. At that point, it was absolutely marginal, and it was a bit of a hodgepodge of different people with a very strong and dominant, at that point, neoliberal stream. So they were anti-Euro, anti-European Union, and they all had racist elements in common, but the far right sort of found themselves in that new party outfit in 2013. They didn't have a lot of electoral results at that point. The electoral results really was sort of gradual over the next 2 years, and that all changed. It jumped, their support jumped after the huge refugee crisis in Europe, 2015-2016. So that's when they were able to really harvest the seeds of the racism that had been prepared through mainstream politics, through social democratic politics and conservative politics in Germany. So in 2017, in the last federal election, they gained 12.6%. And that actually means they are the largest opposition party in the German federal government now. And since then, there's been state elections, and they gained very high results in the eastern states only last year. There were three elections that occurred last year, so they got like up to 27%. So electorally, they've been really exploiting the situation with refugees and basically fostering racism and stirring people's fears. Mm-hmm. Now, in terms of the support, so if you think of support in terms of electoral results, you know, that's where they're at the moment. But of course, the politics behind it has all been hasn't come out of the blue. Like, this is last 20 years in Germany has seen massive austerity measures implemented through the mainstream parties. The gap between rich and poor has dramatically increased, and of course there's a lot of economic insecurity. So the AfD has been successfully exploiting that context and using racism to basically incite more fear amongst people. I would say, though, that there is potentially a bit of a change with the most recent developments that we have seen, and certainly Hanau is one of those developments. And that's sort of, maybe I'll come back to that a bit later when we talk about the response to the attacks.
Mm. And yeah, I guess that goes into, I guess, the next question. I guess what has, with this growing kind of far right, what is kind of the response of the left, I guess, just in terms of like the existing social movements and also the response from the existing left parties?
Yeah, look, I mean, Since 2016, pretty much, you can say that the grassroots movement have been really strong, and that's old movements that have been sort of reactivated. Germany has always had a very strong anti-fascist movement, but that's been more sort of traditionally in the anarchist type camp. But these structures, they're certainly active at the moment, and they've regained momentum. But there's also a lot of broad coalitions and broad movements that have gained a lot of support over the last few years, and they're very strong. And the most recent responses, including Hanau, but also the most recent elections in Thuringia, in one of the eastern states, the responses to events there have demonstrated how strong the movements against the far right are in Germany at the moment. The left party, sorry, I should say as well, that was part of the question, has always been very strong, and really up until last week, the only ones in parliament who have been calling out the racism of the AfD and calling outright no, not giving the AfD any platform for their racist slurs.
And Zane, you had a question you wanted to ask?
Yeah. Good morning, Sibylla. Good to be
good
talking
morning,
to
Zane.
You.
good to hear you.
The elections in Hamburg, which just followed shortly after the Hanau attack, the sort of the left, so the equivalent, I guess, of the Labour Party, the SPD, and the Greens and Die Linke did quite well there. Was that sort of expected, or do you reckon there was a bit more of a vote for those centre-left and left parties following, like, kind of in response to the shooting?
Yeah, look, I'm glad you're asking the question, because Hamburg was an important election and it was changed. It was not only changed by Hanau. So yes, definitely. When Hanau occurred, there were massive protests of solidarity, vigils all across Germany. So absolutely, that impacted on the elections. But I think one development that has had, and it's hard to sort of quantify whether a higher impact or whatever, but certainly the whole combination of the developments, is what happened on the 5th of February in Thuringia, when the elections that had just been held in Thuringia in October, when they tried to elect a state prime minister for that state. And what happened there, without going into details, I wrote an article about this. Basically, the AfD did a really sneaky little maneuver, which had the outcome that the FDP, which is a smaller liberal outfit, which is a bit comparable in the Australian context to the Democrats, ended up winning the state premiership only because of the votes of the far right, of the AfD. And when that occurred, and this small party, it barely made it into state parliament in the first place, so it was the total hypocrisy and the total joke that they would state the state premier, that had such a profound impact on the grassroots, on the movements, where people just came out and basically said nobody should be voted in with the support of the neo-fascists. Nobody can. And so within 72 hours, that person resigned from that position. So the whole maneuvering didn't work. But what that had meant, the impact of that situation, meant that the FDP in Hamburg did not manage to get voted in again, so that they're not represented anymore on that in that state. And the AfD had a loss. They reduced their numbers. So while they're still in Germany, we've got a 5% minimum. They got 5.3%, so they just slipped into the Hamburg State Parliament. But they would have had a significantly higher vote had it not been for Hanau, had it not been for the events that had just occurred the week before in Thuringia. So this is what I was sort of alluding to a bit earlier, like there is potentially a little bit of a change happening at the moment where the AfD was really on the ascent, but now there seems to be a break, and certainly since Thuringia and Hanau, the mainstream media has been much more outright calling out racism, basically calling the AfD arsonists, like setting the fires. You know, there's one of the popular demands in the movement now is that the AfD also shot. So directly linking, I mean, of course, the AfD was not directly linked to the shooter in Hanau, but basically illustrating that their politics have paved the way of all these individuals and far-right organizations acting out their horrific hate.
And something, I'm wondering if there's been much discussion following this uptick in shootings by far-right ideologues over the last year or so. I watched a documentary on, I think it was on Netflix, called NSU, or National Socialist Unit, and that explores this kind of intermingling and overlap between elements within the German police force and sort of secret police, I guess you'd say, and neo-Nazi groups. This is more based in the 90s and early 2000s, with a bunch of killings of mainly Turkish civilians by neo-Nazis, and the role the police had in this. Is there much discussion? Because my understanding is that the police would probably like to say that's not a thing anymore. There's no overlap between the police and neo-Nazis in Germany anymore. But is this an ongoing kind of discussion in the left and in anti-fascist circles in Germany?
Yeah, absolutely. And in fact, I have promised Green Left an article on that. I just haven't quite gotten around to doing the research. So what you're saying is absolutely right. In fact, I haven't got the years in my head now off heart, but around 10 years ago or so, there was an attempt to ban a far-right party in Germany, a different party. This is prior to the AfD. And it came to, it went to the courts, and the courts decided that they were unable to make a ruling because it was obvious that the state security was so intermingled in the leadership of this party and in the leadership of the far right that the courts felt like they were unable, because of the state involvement, to make a ruling on this call to ban this party. So that just illustrates that there's a lot of public knowledge and public debate about these situations. There's a lot of calls to have more investigations happening. But there's certainly a section on the left that doesn't trust these investigations in the first place, because they're just assuming that the state will cover the state investigating the state, if you like. Nonetheless, we still think, or I guess I'm part of those people that believe that it's still important to have these demands, to have these investigations happening, to make sure that more publicity is coming out, and that the media gets more information about this. But the other thing I just might want to mention on this issue is not that long ago, one of the better newspapers in Germany actually did a study, and they basically came up with the links of staffers, because the AfD is now the largest opposition party in federal parliament. They, of course, have a lot of staffers working in parliament. And they found out that of 300-odd staffers, that 83 of them were members of far-right groupings, and part of some of these groupings that you're sort of referring to, that are organized, for instance, within the police, but also within the military. So there's been some media coverage about this. Some of these organizations, some of these groups, sometimes their associations, they have been named, but there's not a lot of information, and in terms of their actions, there's no investigations, there's at times calls, sometimes some of them get banned or closed down, but there's so much more that has to come out on that issue, because certainly when it comes to the police involvement and links to high department officials, for instance, working in security, like domestic security level, all of this stuff comes out to the fore every so often. But there's heaps more that we just don't know at this stage.
Yeah, and getting into sort of the kind of last question to sort of tie up conclude the interview, I guess I wanted to sort of ask about what are the key sort of political arguments, I guess, that are being put forward by the left, I guess, as a counter to sort of the far right sort of agenda in Germany?
So I've already mentioned that in the last week and a half, the mainstream media has really changed its tone, and is much more willing to use the word racism in the first place, and to call people racist, and to demand for racism to be confronted in daily life and stuff. And this is also the political parties are doing this as well. The SPD has to do this now. The CDU has to do this now. Everybody is trying to distance themselves at the moment from the AfD. And that's one of the key demands of the left, that given this recent example in Thuringia, where the AfD managed to maneuver strategically in a very clever way to get this person from a tiny party elected as state minister, the calls from the left are that there can be no collaboration with the AfD, there can be no coalitions with the AfD, and just basically shaming it and just making it very public as soon as there are any elements of collaboration with the AfD. So that happens on national level, but it also, of course, happens on local level. And on local level, where the mainstream media isn't present, where there's a lot less media attention on what happens, we can see collaboration in particular from the CDU with the AfD, and also the FDP already, of course, on a daily basis. We can see it constantly that they are voting the same way, voting the same politics. So it's one task of the left to just bring this to the fore and make it public, and just put so much pressure on the other so-called democratic mainstream parties that none of this collaboration is happening. So these are just some of the demands that are being pushed forward at the moment. And really, of course, the ultimate aim is to get the AFD out of all parliaments, local, state and federal.
Because this was how the Nazi Party came to power back in the day. They never had a majority, but they were collaborating with the CDU back in the day, yeah?
Yeah, I mean, this is so funny that you're saying this, because there is actually a quote. There is a quote from Hitler, and he said this on the 2nd of February 1930. So this is very early days. And the quote is where he is talking about Thuringia, so the same state where we've just seen that debacle happening. And the quote was, Thuringia has demonstrated that the mainstream parties can no longer govern without us. We have made our political advances, something along those lines. So it's exactly, the parallels are quite quite striking.
Hmm. All right, we'll just conclude this interview. Do you have any kind of like final comments you'd like to make, Sibylla?
Just to say that I'll continue writing for Green Left on the issue and, I'll keep you posted.
Yeah, okay. Wicked. Well, thanks heaps for speaking with us this morning. This evening, your time.
Excellent.
Champion.
Yeah. Great.
All right.
Okay.
Talk to you again soon.